Listener supported. WNYC Studios. Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Bernard Pomerantz's 1977 play, The Elephant Man, tells the real-life story of Joseph Merrick, a hideously deformed man who became the toast of Victorian London society. It's being revived on Broadway at the Booth Theater on West 45th Street, starring Bradley Cooper as Merrick, Alessandro Nivola as Dr. Frederick Treves, and he is the physician who saved Merrick from a life as a sideshow freak, and Patricia Clarkson as Mrs. Kendall, the beautiful actress who developed a very close friendship with him. It's gotten rave reviews and is playing to packed houses, but it's in a limited run, which has been extended only until February 22nd. I'm delighted to welcome Patricia Clarkson and Alessandro Nivola back to our show today. Hello.
Hi.
Patricia, you've been in many films like The Station Agent, Far From Heaven, Shutter Island, Vicky, Cristina, Barcelona, et cetera, nominated for an Oscar for Pieces of April, won two Emmys when you were on TV 6 Feet Under. But has it really been 25 years since you were last on Broadway?
Yes. And here I'm back. Yes, it's been 25 years.
And why did you choose this play to make your return? I'm sure you were offered other roles.
Yes, I have been. I did Streetcar 10 years ago at the Kennedy Center and had an extraordinary experience in time and there. And I met Bradley Cooper several years ago, and he said, if and when I do The Elephant Man, I want you to play Mrs. Kendall. And I said, sure, yeah. And then it actually came true.
Well, we'll get to why he wanted to even do The Elephant Man in a little bit. But, Alessandro, you're in two acclaimed films that just opened, Selma and A Most Violent Year. And what brought you to this play? Did Bradley Cooper come to you and say, Alessandro, we want you?
I think it was Patty who actually brought me to the play. You know, the director gave me, Scott Ellis, in fact, gave me both my New York theater and Broadway debut, which were one and the same. It was a production of A Month in the Country that I starred in opposite Helen Mirren back about 18 years ago.
Oh.
And
you don't look that old.
Well, thank you. So I've had a long-standing relationship with him, and I really owe my career to him. But I think Patty and I had run into each other at a party just the week that they were talking about who to cast as Frederick Treves, and apparently, she piped in and said, you know, I just ran into Alessandro, and wouldn't he make a good Frederick Treves?
I said, you'd be perfect.
And didn't this
and I was right.
production originate at the Williamstown Theater Festival two years ago?
Yes.
With Scott Ellis directing.
Yes, it's all the same. A few cast members are different, but very few.
Has it pretty much been the same production?
Mm-hmm.
You had 2 years in between, so does a role develop in an actor's mind over that time, or do you just simply forget about it?
Never. No, it stays with you for 2 years. It's exhausting.
Did you know you'd be doing it on Broadway?
We knew eventually we would. The dates kept changing, but we knew it was happening at some point, and so
I met Jimmy Niederlander in the bathroom backstage.
You keep on meeting, bumping into these people.
I was having a pee in the urinal there, and I look over, and there he is standing next to me doing the same. And he said, "Hey, nice to meet you. You were great in that play. I'm bringing it to Broadway." In between, Bradley and I were in American Hustle together, and we spent the whole time on the set talking about the show as well. So.
Well, it's been reported that after he saw the film version of The Elephant Man at the age of 12, Bradley Cooper decided to become an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And he has always wanted to play Merrick. He talked to you about that,
Patty? Oh, yes. That's why. I mean, the night I first met Bradley was at a movie premiere and of Whatever Works. He launched into this very personal reveal about what it meant to him, and it captured me. It was captivating, you know.
And why do you think this play, of all plays, I mean, it's a good play, but there are a lot of good plays.
I think there was something about yes. I think there's just something about Joseph Merrick that touches him so deeply.
Yeah, I mean,
he can't see himself in it.
Well, but a beautiful man, you know, a very handsome man always plays. Mm-hmm. You know, that is the convention.
Billy Crudup,
Philip Anglim, David Bowie. And so I think he knew he would be right in that way for this part.
Is it just a coincidence that it's in the same theater, the Booth, that the original production ran in 1979?
Well, when we were still up at Williamstown and the talk began about moving it to New York, the main thing that we were concerned about was losing the intimacy of the production, which was in a very small theater up at Williamstown. In fact, it wasn't even on the main stage.
It was
there.
In the 220-seat theater there, yeah.
And so we were always kind of talking about, you know, how would it transfer and how would the performances have to change and everything. And I remember saying to Bradley, you know, there's this one theater there that really isn't too much bigger than what we're playing now. And he said, really? You know, and I mentioned the Booth, and he went down that weekend and saw it, and he came back with his eyes like saucers and said, that's where we're going. So.
A lot of actors like being in the Booth because it's small, but at the same time a real Broadway house.
It's very much. And it's just architecturally a beautiful theater. The acoustics are stunning. And it is a very personal play. This is why we wanted to do it. We've taken the largeness out of the play and reduced it to a very, I think, to character and emotion, which, as you've seen,
with a rather bare set.
Bare set, no prop. Someone said, my friends, you don't even have a prop.
We have about a lot of curtains. curtains and a couple of seats and a desk and a table. That's pretty much it.
I know. I have a chair and a big dress.
And you do have extraordinary dress that you wear. All the women have great costumes.
Beautiful. You get Clint Ramos. Beautiful.
So is that where all of the budget went to the women's dresses?
Definitely not into our paycheck.
I think a chunk of it, yes.
My guests are Patricia Clarkson and Alessandro Nivola, two of the stars of the revival of The Elephant Man, now at the Booth Theater on West 55th Street. Did the playwright Bernard Pomerantz get involved in this production?
Well, he did not come and see the show up at Williamstown, but his daughter came, who he's very close with. And she, her reaction to it was that she felt like it was a return to something like the original production, which was, I think he was very proud of. And so she was really excited about it and excited about the prospect of it moving. And then he did come to our opening night here on Broadway and took a bow with us.
It was beautiful. He came on stage. And he's quite a private man, and he is not known to venture out.
Are people surprised to learn that he's an American player born in Brooklyn?
I think very few people know that. I really do.
Because it is a very British play.
Yeah.
And you, of course, everyone acts with a British accent. So because you could not have done this as an American play. One of the things he changed the name of Merrick from Joseph to John.
Treves changed his name from Joseph to Merrick to John. And this, you know, has been a subject of speculation for 100 years. And we have our own theory about it, which is that, you know, Merrick in real life, his speech was so impeded by the physical deformities in his mouth that he had a very hard time talking and being understood, and that Treves may have found it that it was easier for him to pronounce the name John than Joseph.
Do we have any idea what his condition was? Because I haven't heard of too many other cases of people who look like Merrick.
But there have been several. But it isn't elephantiasis.
No.
It's a bone disorder.
It is a diagnosed disorder. But
his skin was almost like cauliflower.
Yeah.
And his head was larger than
it's
abnormally
a bone, it's
large.
Actually a bone
it's
disorder.
It's a bone disorder.
And the deformity begins with the bones. And as I say when we're talking about his penis in the thing, which is, you know, we have a few cheap jokes about his penis, you know, that there is a relation between the bone disorder and the skin growths. And so where there are bone problems, there are skin problems, and where there aren't, there aren't.
Your character, Dr. Frederick Treves, was a real-life London physician who rescued Merrick from a freak show. Did you read Treves' memoirs while you were preparing for this role?
Yes. I read... Well, the whole play is based on his reminiscences about his experience with Merrick. And I think that Bernard read... He got some intimation from reading that piece. It's like a short little novella. I don't know. It's 20, 30 pages or something. That there may have been a tone of guilt or something in the way that Treves described trying to civilize Merrick and
making it into a Pygmalion type story.
It is a Pygmalion story in Bernard's hands, definitely. I mean, that's the most perfect corollary that you could draw. And he, of course, you know, in the play, the doctor really ends the play with a nervous breakdown, whereas that, you know, Treves went on to a knighthood and to being the king's physician. there is a sort of tone of sort of wistful. I mean, he wrote these memoirs late in his life, actually, thinking back on this time that was when he was quite young, in his early 30s. And there is you do get a feeling that maybe, you know, he certainly felt the tragedy of a man sort of having an illusion about himself as a kind of dandy, as a young, attractive man walking down Piccadilly Circus and flirting with the women and tipping his hat, and that there was something so sort of upsetting about that. And Bernard, I think, just made that the sort of central conflict.
Do we know how he came across Merrick? Did he just happen upon him at a freak show, or was he actively looking for a case like that to study?
He was at the London Hospital, which was, Whitechapel Road, where the London Hospital is in the East End of London, was at that time, and you know, still is, but at that time it was a really, you know, full of down and outs and all kinds of...
Well, the East End was always a poor area.
Yeah. And across the street from the hospital, there was like a little sort of storefront where this guy Tom Norman was showing Merrick.
Did he give him the name The Elephant Man?
No, that was Tom Norman called him The Elephant Man as part of the show.
Yeah.
And one of the other physicians at the London Hospital.
He had a very, at one time, Merrick had
a long,
protruding nose, which was cut off.
In order for him to be able to eat
and
breathe through his mouth, because it was like starting to cover over his mouth. But another physician went across the street and had seen it first and told Treves about it. And then so Treves went purposely to see him in this on display there.
And then he decided to have him live in the hospital.
Well, that was a big move because no one was living at the London Hospital. There were no sort of full-time residents there, patients who were residents there. So they had to raise money in order for that to be possible. And the head of the hospital wrote a letter to the Times, I think, and lots of rich benefactors
gave money. But it's also Mrs. Kendall who... Actually, that's where she comes in.
And we're going to take a little break, and we're going to find out about Mrs. Kendall after we take that break. Keep the audience hanging on.
Oh,
my guests are Patricia Clarkson, who plays Mrs. Kendall, Alessandro Nivola, who plays Dr. Treves, Bradley Cooper plays Joseph Merrick in this revival of Bernard Pomerantz's play, The Elephant Man, which is... kind of different from the movie version. If you've seen the movie version, you still may want to see the play.
It's quite different.
And it's currently at the Booth Theater on West 45th Street, running until February 22nd. We will be back with more after this. We're back with Alessandro Nivola and Patricia Clarkson talking about a revival of The Elephant Man, currently at the Booth Theater on West 45th Street. And Patricia, when we went into the break, we were talking about Mrs. Kendall. I wasn't sure whether she was a real person. She is?
Well, the character, Bernard merged, I think, two important women in Merrick's life. And Mrs. Kendall is an amalgam of those two people. She is based loosely on a very famous actress of the time named Madge Kendall. But she was more of a philanthropist. She never met Merrick. Merrick saw her perform, but she never met him. But she raised a lot of funds, and she was responsible for him meeting the, you know, the literati and glitterati and the celebrity. Some of his celebrity fame is, you know, due to her ability to make him shimmer in that time. And he so, but then there was a beautiful widow that befriended him and was the first person to touch him, first woman to shake his hand. And so I think he just he beautifully took those two women and merged them.
And he gives us the sense that Mrs. Kendall almost fell in love with Joseph Merrick.
Yes, I think it's interesting how people interpret the play, and some people see it as a love story. Often people have said, oh, it's Beauty and the Beast. And I say, well, I actually think Merrick is Beauty and the Beast. I think he's, you know, this exquisite man inside and out. But it is definitely a love story, yes, for me in terms of my journey through this play.
Yeah, she's not just doing him a favor by being nice to him. But
no.
As the play is written, and I assume this is based to some degree on the real story, Merrick starts off mostly doing grunts. In fact, even more grunts than Timothy Spall as Mr. Turner. and then he starts speaking, and it turns out he is a rather intelligent person. In fact, he has a wonderful conversation with Mrs. Kendall about Romeo and Juliet.
Brilliant. Yes, but that's what they realized, is that he was quite educated, Merrick. And what Treves realized is he had actually read the Bible backward and forward, could quote it, had actually had some form of education.
Yeah, he'd had, I think, through grade school.
Yeah. But he had actually just shut down, of course. And he actually put himself in the carnival, which is what Bradley was talking about.
Well, he had to make a living or
yes.
something.
He was in a workhouse, and then one of the only ways for him to make a living was to
join the carnival.
Himself.
Yeah.
And so he teamed up with Tom Norman.
Early in the play, we see Treves lecturing on Merrick's anatomy with photos of the real man next to Bradley Cooper, who, of course, is a near-perfect physical specimen. Are those actually? You get closer to him than I do, but he looked pretty good.
he looks amazing. Are you kidding me?
He's ripped because of Americans' sniper. He really worked out for that.
Well, he was enormously. Heavier than he was. So he spent the whole rehearsal period being made special little meals that helped him to lose weight.
Yeah, to lose weight to play a man who was very large.
Just to get more sinewy.
No, in fact, Merrick was very small.
Yes.
He was only about 5 foot three or something.
Yeah. Are those actual photographs of Merrick?
Oh, yeah.
As you describe Merrick's deformities, Bradley contorts his face and body accordingly until he comes to somewhat resemble the photos as best one can under those circumstances. Is it in the script that this role has to be performed without makeup or prosthetics?
Yes. And he even says in the script that nobody with back problems should attempt the part.
There's a disclaimer at the beginning of the play, and it says you must be in good physical health.
And no back problems because of the way you're going to stand?
You must not have certain ailments.
Well, he had severe scoliosis, I guess, which is one of the main physical attributes to the performance, you know.
Also it's Pomerantz's idea to have the audience imagine. This is almost like radio in a way.
Yes.
We suddenly project that photograph onto Bradley Cooper as the play progresses.
It's a beautiful and magical thing. It is.
Would you want to play that role? Because this really has to challenge an actor's physical skills. Do you have a good
back? You know, it's interesting. He doesn't seem to complain about that much at all, really. I mean, the challenges to the role are really not the physical ones, I think.
Yeah.
So Treves has brought Mrs. Kendall there to visit him, and he did bring a lot of people from society to bring him.
They were neighbors, Treves and Mrs. Kendall. The real Madge Kendall. They were neighbors.
Was he doing this because he wanted people to contribute to his upkeep, or was there something else going on?
Well, there are a couple of different things going on. I mean, as far as Mrs. Kendall is concerned, initially he brings her there because he has this notion that because she's an actress, that she might be one of the few women who would be able to hide the way that she...
Trained to hide her true feelings.
Yeah, I say that an actress is trained to hide her true feelings and assume others. And,
well, because he also has people being totally disgusted.
Right. I mean, you see earlier on in the play, even a nurse, a very hardened nurse, comes to see him, and she can't contain her disgust.
She runs away.
And so he brings her there for that reason and then discovers that she's this kind of wild, irreverent, incredibly attractive woman.
And that's why I guess Bradley asked you to play the part.
Perfectly embodied.
Typecasting, what can I say?
Patty Clarkson. But, what
Lace
evolves is a kind of a love triangle in the story where Treves, who... has lived a kind of quintessentially bourgeois lifestyle, suddenly feels this fascination and curiosity and longing for this alternative way of living that both she and Merrick kind of share, being show people. And that he just, it's a society that lives, they live outside the boundaries of bourgeois society.
But that's something we've done that's a little different in the play, is we really have built that triangle between Treves, Merrick, and Kendall.
You mean into the way you play the roles?
The way we've played the role, the undercurrent, the romantic undercurrent that exists all between all of us throughout the play. From the beginning.
I mean, the idea that Treves could be jealous of Merrick, isn't something that you would immediately imagine, but it's crucial to the playing of the role and to the for the play to work.
And then Merrick died when he was just 27 years old.
Yeah.
Of natural causes because of his deformities.
Well, he did die that way. He choked by when he was lying on his back, and it's not clear whether he did it as a suicidal act or if it was an accident.
Now, we made the point that the film is not like the play. It wasn't based on the play, was it?
No, not at all. They're just completely separate.
And there they did make him up to look more like the Elephant Man.
Yes. That was prosthetics. And, it's cinematic. It's the difference. And it's...
It's a device. The way it's done in the play.
But yet it's not theatrical in a way.
John Hurt played him in the film. Yes. And Anthony Hopkins and Mrs. Robinson.
Anne Bancroft.
Stunning Anne Bancroft, yeah.
My guests are Patricia Clarkson and Alessandro Nivola, two of the stars, along with Bradley Cooper, in a revival of Bernard Pomerantz's play, The Elephant Man, currently at the Booth Theater on West 45th Street. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Alessandra, when you worked with Bradley in American Hustle, was that you'd already done the Williamstown version. Did you talk about your roles in the play as you were working on that one?
Yeah. I mean, we just obsessed about it the whole time that we were filming. It was looming on the horizon. We were actually going to be filming it last fall, moving the play to Broadway a year ago last fall, which was only going to be a few months after the film. So we were really gearing up for it at that moment.
What was rehearsal process like? Because you'd already played all these roles.
Well, but it had been 2 years. And, I mean, the body...
Do you remember most of your lines?
We remembered you have copious amounts. He has so many lines. But it was more the emotional life and the emotional strain that we had. We had to get back just, it was, the fluidity that these parts require.
Well, I felt nervous that going into that rehearsal. I never I'd never revived, reprised a production or a role.
But I'd imagine because acting is so much about responding to another person that when you were given a line somehow in the back of your head.
But it does start, I had a great acting teacher who said the body never lies. And it does come back to you, I think, at first physically. The character comes through you first physically.
But we rehearsed the play as if we'd never done it before this second time around. We sat around the table for a week and asked all the questions. You would have thought.
And rethought a few moments. We tried to kind of come fresh and see if there were just new.
And I do think, it feels, it feels very different.
It's very different from Williamstown, which is
production,
good.
Even though all of the kind of stage looks the same and everything.
Now, as I said, the run is, it ends on February 22nd. It's been playing to full houses, setting box office records for the theater. It recouped its investment. Is there any chance of another extension?
No.
Are you all too busy?
There's another show going into the booth. All they could give us was a week. They need it. A Hand of God is coming in after us.
Yeah, and they couldn't push any.
But we might be going to London.
But you're also doing other things, Alessandro. Aren't you shooting the second season of the HBO series Dahl and M?
We've been filming that
Written
by my wife. I produce it. We're both in it. And it was kind of madness this past few months because we were shooting it while doing the play, and I was filming in the morning and then coming and doing the play at night.
You mean the actress is sleeping with the producer?
I wonder how she got the job.
Emily Mortimer. And Patricia, aren't you in the middle of filming a new Maze Runner movie?
Yes.
You're doing it in the morning
to
soon?
No, I'm going to go off to Albuquerque. Oh, Albuquerque. And shoot a couple of days on that.
And you're in a couple of other films
I have a beautiful film by Rubinata coming out. I have a film that stars me and Scott Speedman and Tim Roth, and it opens March 6th. It's a beautiful film.
Meanwhile,
what's it called?
October.
You have until February 22nd to see The Elephant Man at the Booth Theater on West 45th Street. My great thanks to both of you for being on our show today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. Thank you.